Welcome to Grand Farmer, the podcast where we bring together growers and members of the ag tech community to discuss the latest advancements in technology and its impact in agriculture. Today, we're really excited to host a globally relevant conversation when it comes to cybersecurity in agriculture. The importance of agriculture is globally relevant. It's a critically important sector, and the fact that cybersecurity and how that impacts our global food supply chain has not been a larger focus, needs to change. So I'm really excited to welcome Will with Kirkwall, an exciting cybersecurity startup, and then Casey, a farmer out of Lemoore, North Dakota, to continue the conversation around how we can advance cybersecurity in agriculture and why farmers need to take this seriously. Hope you enjoy the conversation. All right. Well, welcome everybody to this episode of Grand Farmer. We're so excited to have Will and Casey here today to talk about cybersecurity in agriculture and why it's important and why farmers in the industry need to care more about it. Casey, you're the grower here, so let's start with you. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Thanks for having me on today. My name is Casey Bitts. I have a farm in Lemoore, North Dakota, where we have soybeans, corn, hard red spring wheat. We also have cattle and sheep on our operation. Pretty diverse, as we also have some dry land and irrigation as well along the James River Valley. Also with teaching, I'm also a full-time teacher for the state of North Dakota as well, teaching online physical education. And I'm also currently the president of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association.
That's a busy resume, Casey.
It's a full schedule, especially during the busy time of May and October when students are finishing courses and I'm planting, and then in October during the middle of harvest and students are just getting started in the fall. So it's a full schedule, and then you throw livestock in there too. It's kind of three full-time jobs.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to kind of circle back on the education piece because North Dakota is doing some unique things when it comes to cybersecurity education that I'm just kind of curious about your insight on. So I'm sure we'll get to that. Will, Mr. Cromartie, the busiest man in Fargo, North Dakota, let's turn it over to you.
Yeah, sure. Will Cromartie, CEO and founder of Kirkwall. So we are a cybersecurity company focused on autonomous systems. So that's everything from drones to IoT-enabled ag tech, and a lot of the cutting-edge systems that you're seeing coming out right now for agriculture. Also, increasingly, some work on diagnostic monitoring for industrial systems. In terms of my background, former intelligence officer, my background was with CIA from 2015 to 2020, mainly focused on a lot of aerospace and counterproliferation topics. Went private sector after that, started getting into the aerospace sector, and moved out here to North Dakota full-time a year ago after coming out here for business for some time previously.
Great. Well, let's get into this. So cybersecurity has obviously become a hot topic lately. You know, there's a lot of very public cyber attacks that have happened. But, you know, within agriculture, I don't know if it's getting the attention it deserves, especially when you think about kind of the global relevancy and importance of agriculture. And I think always kind of one of my favorite, or not my favorite, but I think the best examples of why cybersecurity in agriculture is so important is imagine if some bad actor hacked the John Deere tractors, shut them all down for 3 weeks during harvest. What would that mean from a global food security standpoint? So maybe Will, could we just start with you about why at large is this such an important topic?
Sure. So this is something that FBI has named as one of their top concerns for 2023, specifically timed attacks in the concepts in the context of agriculture. And it, as you alluded to there, agriculture is a time-sensitive industry, right? When you look at certain specific seasons like planting or harvest, one of the big concerns is, you get bad actors globally that might launch a cyber attack in order to essentially hold you hostage during that critical season and say, if you don't give me $10,000 in Bitcoin, you don't get to have a harvest this year, and there was all your money, right? And so I think FBI has really been picking up on this threat. They've actually got sort of a symposium or conference they'll be doing this summer specifically focused on security in the context of agriculture. USDA has been a little bit slower to pick it up, but I think they're starting to pay attention to it as well. And it's also something where, you know, I think there's a lot of value in farmers connecting directly with a lot of these entities to either share their concerns or focus on education and training about how they can secure their own systems.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Casey, from your standpoint as a grower, do you ever think about the cybersecurity on your farm?
Cybersecurity continues to be a main focus talking point, you know, recently. You know, it's not just, you know, what if John Deere Case gets shut down? You know, what about the power grid? You know, what if we were to lose, you know, manufacturing ability? What would happen to the price of inputs, you know, fertilizer and chemical, you know, going on as well? And we kind of had an issue with that when Texas had the power issues when they had the cold weather spell last couple of years ago. We lost a lot of production. So that's obviously a main concern, is the power grid going forward. But equipment is continue to be more advanced, and we're continuing to have more monitors in our equipment, more iPads, everything's to have an app for everything. So that is a concern, because, you know, it's not just like how it used to be in back in the day where you could just unplug a sensor and just go planting and harvest. It's everything's running off of something else, you know, so we need to trust these companies and make sure that we can be out there, you know, providing the best available product. And, you know, we always pride ourselves in North Dakota and the United States as food security, and that's something we need to touch on now is cybersecurity going forward then.
Yeah, well, that's great. But I got to imagine, I mean, you're a teacher, you're a farmer, you have some cattle, you're president of the soybean. Like, that's a lot going on. I got to imagine that out of everything running through your mind on a daily basis, cybersecurity has to be towards the very bottom of that list. And I got to imagine that's a pretty similar cadence from a normal farmer. I can't imagine that the normal farmer's thinking about this on a day-to-day basis.
It's definitely towards the bottom, but when you plug in, you get into the tractor cab, you hope everything, you're expecting everything to be working. You know, you charge your iPad at night, you plug it into the, and turn the key, and every monitor should be up and running, but what happens if it's not? You know, there was a previous podcast that Grand Farm did talking about GPS, and if a hired man loses GPS, oh, what happens? You just shut the outfit down, and that's what it used to be, but everything else now is being automated, controlled as well. And you're pulling your prescriptions for planting from a cloud. You're hopefully in your harvest data to make decisions for the next year on up in the cloud. It's, you know, you talk to the old farmers about the cloud and they're like, oh, yeah, it's not going to rain today. But that's, you know, that's not the way it is these days. You know, our next generation of agriculture is concerned with the cloud just as much as anybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I think, you know, Will, from your standpoint, where does the ownership of this being an important topic live? Is this, I mean, I don't think anybody would say this lives on the farmer. Is this industry? Does this need to be led by the government? And where does the industry, or where does the ownership of this live?
Yeah, so I think it is kind of a mix, right? I think that there's always going to be a government element to this, because usually the threats are coming from various nation-state actors, whether it's Russia or China or North Korea or others that do have those kinds of offensive cyber capabilities. So I think there's always going to be that FBI component. I think increasingly it makes sense to have a USDA component to introduce that concept that cyber and ag, whether we like it or not, are going to be going hand-in-hand moving forward. And that is something that people should be aware of. I think we also come at it from that industry perspective, in the sense that, you know, historically a lot of cybersecurity work has been very reactive of, you know, something went wrong with our system and now we're calling the company to help and get rid of it, right? And we like to take a much more proactive approach here. And really our business model that we're building out is focusing on those original equipment manufacturers and trying to have these capabilities on board when they roll off the assembly line, so that as a farmer, you don't have to worry about any of this. You don't have to spend any time thinking about cyber, and you can trust that your system's secure as it rolls off the assembly line.
That makes sense. Casey, any thought from your standpoint, kind of where you see this ownership living?
No, that's a great point, Will. I'm glad you wrote that, you know, brought that up about farmers being, you know, proactive instead of reactive to this situation. It kind of reminds me, you know, in my work in policy, you know, the last 5 years with North Dakota Soybean Growers Association and the American Soybean Association, you know, the policy page on technology used to be only one page, but now I think it's three pages. And, you know, we're seeing that in our state as well. You know, Andrew, you brought up a great point to start this after my introduction, talking about the state of North Dakota. You know, recently, you know, House Bill 1398, you know, allowing, you know, cybersecurity and computer classes for, you know, child, you know, for our children in our schools. You know, they're understanding the importance of cybersecurity going forward. And, you know, that's kind of the conversation of who is going to be for the farmers then. You know, we don't want to be listening to next year and our different meetings during the winter that such and farmer lost production 3 days because they were hacked. You know, we don't want to listen to those types of situations. We want to be ahead of this situation and have strong policy going forward and working with, you know, Kirkwall or whoever agencies are out there or other companies that are out there to make sure this is at the forefront going forward.
Well, maybe on that point, Will, I would love your thoughts on this cybersecurity mandate. You know, within cybersecurity, kind of Estonia of all the countries is famous for having a really strong strategy around educating kind of the future workforce in cybersecurity. So it's kind of known as the Estonia strategy, which I never thought of. But maybe why do you think this is important from the industry standpoint at large?
Yeah, so I think it's valuable to have this cybersecurity education in the school system right now because at the end of the day, most security is cultural in the sense that you can have the best technology in the world, but if someone plugs in a flash drive that they found in the parking lot, that overrides even the best technology, right? So there's always going to be that cultural element, that human element of security. And I think to be successful there, you have to have a security mindset, right? And that doesn't mean paranoia, but at the same time, it means being aware of what common threat vectors are. Whether that is the flash drive in the parking lot or, you know, clicking on that attachment or even, you know, texting your friend and saying, hey, did you really send me something with an attachment? This doesn't sound like you in that email. I think just having that mindset of just pausing and thinking about it, that's something that you really do start building kind of at a young age. And so I think really the main takeaway is, you know, 18 years from now, you're going to have adults coming out of our school system here in North Dakota that have that security mindset, which is going to be incredibly valuable because other states won't have that.
Yeah, no, that I think that makes sense. I mean, Casey, from your standpoint, how often or ever are you like updating your technology, updating your apps, making sure that you have the latest and kind of greatest from a security standpoint? Is that something that you think of? I'm assuming you don't have like a formal technology framework on your farm.
No plans yet, but it's, you know, always being aware of, you know, what apps are out there, making sure you talk to, you know, the companies that this is your app and this is the app that you are using for your, you know, the technology that's on the farm. You know, recently we just started using soil sensor moisture probes for our irrigators as well, and with the hopes of eventually that using those monitors out in the field to be able to run the irrigators off of would be the long-term goal. But that takes communication with, you know, our provider and making sure that this is the right one, that this probe is talking to this, and all of a sudden you're not putting down 3 inches of rain on with an irrigator and flooding your fields out then. You know, trusting the equipment going forward is going to be a huge part of the deal.
That is it.
Yeah. Well, I think that you bring up a good point there. So within agriculture, there's so many disparate systems. You have a sensor that might be talking to your John Deere that might go funnel into an app, you know. They're all working on disparate systems, different companies. That, to me, in my very uneducated mind, seems like it opens up a lot of vulnerabilities. Will, thoughts on that?
Definitely. I mean, I think there's really that trade-off there that connectivity means convenience, but it also means openings for threats, right? And I'm not anti-technology by any means. You know, I love all the awesome stuff that's happening right now with autonomous systems. I think it's fantastic. And, you know, I love watching that development. But anytime you're introducing a new device to a network or connecting more devices, you are opening more possible avenues for a threat. So that's one reason that I think really the future security here is, you know, getting on this when it's first developed versus that more reactive style approach. And I think it's kind of hitting that, you know, both software and hardware development early on so that the devices are able to communicate, but do that in a secure way that doesn't pose a threat to anything on the system.
Hey, that makes sense.
Hey, Will, I would love just to get a little nerdy here and talk about business models of cybersecurity companies. Like, what's your business model? What's your kind of go-to-market strategy? And who are your customers that you'll be working with here on this?
Yeah, sure. So we're actually pivoting our business model right now. You know, we started off doing much more of that traditional security model, doing security assessments and consulting, right, and more of that contracting approach. And as we go through Generator's G beta program right now, which we're about halfway through, we are essentially pivoting to more of a B2B SaaS model, right? Where essentially it's software as a service, going to those original manufacturers and looking at what does it mean to have security on board where a system can autonomously detect a problem on board and perform some kind of action. So essentially that system saying, I think I've been compromised, or I think something's about to break or has been sabotaged, I'm going to safely power down, or I'm going to return home, or whatever action you want as a user. And so for us, that starts looking more like that traditional SaaS model of, you know, potentially a subscription for software, or an enterprise style approach where you partner with that original equipment manufacturer in order to have it rolling off the assembly line with that capability on board. So really the end customer there ends up being less so the individual farmer, and it ends up being more so the manufacturer. And then the farmer gets that peace of mind of knowing that the systems are all secured.
Mm-hmm.
And what has been kind of the industry feedback you've been getting?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I think historically there's not been a whole lot of overlap, right, between agriculture and cybersecurity. I think that's been true for other sectors we've looked at as well, even, you know, construction. You know, you'll hear historically in construction, you know, security is a chain link fence, right? And it's not so much something on that cyber side. And so I think these are sectors that know it's important. You know, they've been keeping an eye on some of the briefings coming out from FBI and then from USDA and others. And I think people are increasingly aware it's a threat, but because there hasn't been that historical overlap in industry, a lot of people are looking for external assistance and saying, you know, we'd be very happy to partner on this. We just want to be told what to do and how to do it, because it's just not something that we either have built or want to build a team to do, because it's outside of a wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. You know, Casey, so despite what the general public might think of, you know, your traditional North Dakota farm, these are pretty big. A lot of these farms are pretty big business endeavors, you know, multi-million dollar initiatives. They have staff on there, kind of that family farm is kind of, you know, it's expanding. I guess the definition of family is expanding is maybe one way of framing that. But maybe from your standpoint, you know, maybe talk about your operations and kind of who helps run it. Is it truly within the family? And then as, you know, we scale and these farm operations kind of become bigger and, you know, you get hired farmhands, like you're opening it up for more risk by just adding more people into this.
Sure. So right now it is a family farm. I farm with my parents. But as we talk about, you know, as you mentioned, everything is kind of moving towards a business mindset instead of the way of life as farming is. So as we look onto it, you know, I have a couple of nieces and nephews that are interested in the farm. And, you know, instead of, you know, sending them to a trade school for picking up welding or something else, they might have to go for the computer science in agriculture. You know, they might be looking at, you know, cybersecurity or how to run all the farms off of one system. So that's something, as we look to the next generation, you know, these students are graduating high school and going on, they're not going just to pick up a trade or to become a diesel tech or something like that. They might be going for, you know, the new face of agriculture, which is technology focused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that is an interesting point. You know, I'm just thinking of my cousin who's taken over the family farm. You know, he went to a traditional ag program that I'm sure this was not a part of the curriculum. But, you know, it is interesting to think of how, you know, you can start to incorporate cybersecurity training, software engineering, GIS training into future curriculums as part of kind of like ag programs in the future.
Yeah, my nephew, like you said, he's in middle school right now, but he's constantly finding new ways to use the drone, you know, with their cattle, trying to find if one is sick or going to calve soon, you know, based on infrared selection. So he's years ahead of his dad currently on the farm with the technology. But that's the way, you know, when we look at agriculture, this generation, our generation, we're going to need to embrace the technology and the automation. Well, the next generation down the road, they're just going to expect it. They're going to expect everything to be there, expect it to work. And it's not going to be such, you know, the long 8-to-8 kind of days on the farm. It's going to be your 8-to-5 typically days, and allow that next generation to spend more time. You know, they're probably going to have the off the farm job to support them and their family, and to be able to spend the time with their family and attending family events such as sporting events or school plays or whatever it might be then.
Yeah. It is interesting that this is something I hear a lot from farmers that I talk to is, you know, multi-generational farms. There's the hesitancy or skepticalness, I guess, when you're talking about, you know, you're trying to convince your dad about why we need this technology. Is that something that you experience? And then it'll be also interesting to like how that experience will be different. Eventually you're going to be the old guy, you know, your future kids are going to be trying to sell you on the latest and greatest in 30 years.
So one example I can think of is a grain bin sensors. Right now, you know, a lot of the move is going to grain bin automation, where they'll check the moisture content to make sure your beans are, you know, not dropping below 9% moisture. They're staying at 13, so you get, you know, you're not losing shrinkage or anything else like that, and monitoring corn as well, so you don't spoil it. Well, my dad did early adapt with that and did have grain bin sensors, but he had a handheld monitor. Well, that technology went away, and now it's to a Bluetooth option, or everything's ran off your computer. And he was pretty hesitant to go to a phone way. He used Bluetooth and everything like that. He does have a smartphone, but, you know, it's just that pushback from technology of, I don't want to be able to, you know, farmers are always protective of their data, and who's going to control my data? Who owns this data? Who can see my data? So that's something, you know, there's a lot of farmers still out there that I believe still have, you know, flip phones, but they're still tech smart, that they still have an iPad that they're ordering parts of, or they're watching the hired hand or whoever it might be in the field with their John Deere links that they have as well.
Yeah. Well, you bring up another kind of hot topic that I talk to a lot of farmers about. It's the data. So, Casey, on your farm, who do you think should own the data?
It's the farmer's data.
Yeah.
The farmer's the one out collecting the data. The farmer should have the data to make their own decisions. And, you know, it's just always the what-if scenario. You know, what if USDA get a hold of my data? What if the Chicago Board of Trade is impacted by my data? Right. What if the seed company gets my data? They know exactly what to increase their price for or whatever. So it's always that conversation that the farmer should have their data to make the best decisions for the farmer then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know this is kind of getting into a little bit more than like a cybersecurity attack, but, you know, I think still data privacy, data security is a really important topic. Maybe Will, any thoughts on how kind of industry is approaching kind of this protection of data?
Yeah, but I think historically there hasn't been a whole lot of protection of that data. And I think, you know, to Casey's point with that belonging to the farmer, you know, that's something that with some of these systems as they roll out, you could even choose to monetize as another income stream, or you could choose not to if you want to keep that, you know, as data that you hold yourself, right? But I think ultimately that decision falls in the farmer's hands there. I think touching on one thing you mentioned previously, just about the educational element as well, I think that's really interesting because when you do look at that multi-generational farmer concept, right, and what does farming look like for the next generation? I mean, I think if I was going back to school right now and wanted to focus on ag, I wouldn't be getting only an ag degree. I'd probably double major in computer science, right? Because there's so many ag tech companies popping up in the Midwest. There's such a great venture capital scene that's popping up for that now. I think that intersection of computer science and agriculture is really what I'd be focusing on if I was going back to school right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, and I think, you know, I mean, well, this is a little, we could have a whole separate conversation around kind of the startup scene and the opportunities that exist within ag tech. And maybe while we're on the startup scene, let's talk a little bit about, you know, so big corporates, you know, John Deere, Case, they have the resources, they have the talent, the money to make sure that this is, you know, cybersecurity is a really important piece, but, you know, there is so much exciting startup technology, whether that's, you know, new drone technology, new sensors, whatever the case might be, that, you know, how should the startup scenes and those that might not, they might be bootstrapping this, they might not have the technical talent to be designing kind of security by design concepts when they're putting together their technology, how should they approach cybersecurity?
You know, so one approach that we've had is just looking for joint development opportunities with some of these companies where if they're not necessarily a, you know, customer out of the gate because they're smaller, bootstrapping, but they have some kind of product that could be an interesting new expansion for us. You know, we've thought about, you know, opportunities to do joint development like that, right? Where we say, okay, you develop your product and we'll develop that software side. You get the benefit of it being a joint offering. And both of us are bringing resources to the table and we both benefit. So I'd say, you know, look for kind of those creative win-win scenarios to actually do a joint offering with another startup.
Great. Well, I think we can probably start to kind of wrap up this conversation here, but maybe Will, we'll turn it over to you kind of for some any closing thoughts on this. And maybe before we get to closing thoughts, let's end with some practical advice. What should farmers be thinking about when it comes to cybersecurity on their farm? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, a lot of the traditional rules still apply just in terms of, you know, the traditional cybersecurity recommendations of watching out for suspicious links and attachments, right, or anything that could be a vector like that. I think it is valuable, though, when you look at new machinery that you might bring on board, you know, ask the manufacturer about that, right? Ask them how they're approaching cybersecurity. If they don't have an answer, then that might be informative, right? And at the very least, they need to know that farmers care about this and they want their devices to be secure. You know, because I think farmers have a legitimate concern of, you know, is this device going to go haywire and damage a bunch of my crops and then I lose money, right? And how do I know that's not going to happen? And so I think there's fantastic autonomous technology being developed. And I think we all just want to make sure it's done well with a nice rollout from the start and is secure from day one.
Great. Sounds great. Well, maybe Casey, we'll turn it over to you to kind of get your thoughts on why this is important, how you're incorporating this, maybe any final closing thoughts.
Sure. It's, you know, technology continues to grow in agriculture. You know, I think back when we go to Commodity Classic for the American Soybean Association, our annual meeting, the Commodity Classic trade show used to be 5 years ago a lot of just farm equipment, but now it's a lot of the tech startup companies like we're going. So that's something that, you know, us farmers and us, you know, growers and producers need to be aware of. And that's kind of something that we need to look to these organizations, you know, Soybean Growers, Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, different organizations to help educate us kind of going forward on, you know, what is cybersecurity on my farm? What should it look like? You know, what is there something that we need to work with different companies and organizations to make sure that our data is being protected and our equipment is being protected? So that's something that farmers need to be aware of, is kind of the education aspect. And then, you know, is that something we need to talk about with, you know, extension going forward? Does extension need to have courses? Do farmers, you know, need to have educated courses and training on this as well? You know, a 30-minute program that, you know, you click through and learn about what is phishing? What is this? You know, it's probably, you know, Kirk Wall, like Will, you're probably, your employees have to do the training, and Grand Farm probably has to do the training as well. And I do at the state of North Dakota. So maybe that's something farmers need to look into going forward, is the learning aspect of it more than anything. So just working with the different organizations going forward to understand how is your farm protected in the future and what can you do to minimize that possible risk. You know, looking at your equipment going forward, making sure the apps are always updated, working with your techs and making sure everything is up to go for harvest and planting well in advance, so you don't have that breakdown that, oh, your computer needs to update, I need to plug in my system for you and get that rebooted for you. So planning ahead and making a plan is kind of our biggest thing with cybersecurity, I think, going forward.
Sure. Great. Well, Will, we'll turn it over to you for last thoughts.
Yeah, sure. So I think just returning to something that Casey mentioned before, just about, you know, time with your family, right? I think that's why this matters. I think for a lot of these autonomous systems, right, they've got an immense amount of potential here to increase yields, right, to actually, you know, mean that you can spend hours on what you care about, right, and you focus on a lot of those tasks that might be inefficient or time-consuming or dangerous, right, and essentially automating those, especially when, you know, you've got the labor shortages being what they are. And so I think really the reason that you do that, though, is so that you get time for the things that you care about, time with your family, your community, your church, whatever, you know, you want to focus on there. And I think that ultimately that's where autonomous systems end up leading us, as long as we can do that in a secure way from day one.
Sure. Well, that's a great kind of closing point. Well, Will, Casey, thanks so much for joining us. I will make a selfish plug here that if this is a topic that interests you, Grand Farm is going to be hosting a Cybersecurity in Food and Ag Supply Chain Symposium on Tuesday, June 6th, as part of this bigger Ag Tech Week around our Cultivate Conference. Tickets are free. You can join in virtually or in person, and you can find out that more at grandfarm.com. But Will, Casey, thanks so much for joining us on Grand Farmer today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
And that will wrap up this month's episode of Grand Farmer. We want to thank Will and Casey for joining us for this really interesting conversation around the importance of cybersecurity in agriculture. I also want to thank all of Grand Farm partners who help us support us to do the important work that we're doing. And finally, I want to end with the invitation to join us for our Cultivate Conference on Thursday, June 8th in Fargo, North Dakota, or virtually. This is our signature conference, which is about connecting the ag tech industry with growers. We think it's vitally important to create these feedback loops between industry and growers, and this is one of our ways of doing that. So I hope you can join us and you can learn more at grandfarm.com. And I can't wait to see you next time for our next episode of Grand Farming.